We're a very chatty church, and we like to talk with each other, and that's awesome, but I can invite you to find a seat, settle in. Good morning. So good to see you guys. My name's Natasha, if you don't know. Many of you have probably seen me up here singing much more than you've heard me talking. I get to serve as the worship director here at Hillside, and I'm very thankful to do that, and I'm also very thankful to get to speak today. I always love when I get the chance to preach, and I'm especially excited about today's topic. As many of you know, we've been in a series on hearing God, and I have been really encouraged by what God's doing in our church family through this series. Learning to hear God has had a huge impact on my own relationship with Jesus. It's really expanded it, and I trust that it has been and will continue to expand our relationship with the Lord as a church family. As a recap, we started this series by learning about just the general fact that we can hear from God. We learned about hearing God in Jesus, and then in Scripture, Dan Hevener came and walked us through imaginative prayer and Lectio Divina. Then Derwin talked about prophecy for a couple weeks and hearing God in the still, small voice in our minds. And now I am here to tell you that God wants to speak to us through everything. And specifically, two of my favorite ways to hear from him, through creation, through nature, and through the arts. I'm going to be coming back to Psalm 19 through the sermon, so I'd like to read that. But first, let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, you are in this place. I thank you for the ways that we've already been interacting with you through song and with prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can trust that you are here and that you have a word you want to speak to each of us today. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your glory and how we can know about you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Speak to us. Speak through me and through us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 19, 1-4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. I'm excited for us to learn that there is nothing through which God cannot speak. He loves us and has so much he wants to say to us, which is amazing. And he isn't limited in the ways he wants to say it. We've been going through the book Hearing God by Pete Gregg, and a quote from him is, "There is no aspect of God's creation through which he cannot and does not speak." As we just read, the skies are proclaiming speech and knowledge as the Lord created them to. It's true, Scripture is the primary way God speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit loves to whisper directly into our minds. But the Lord can and will use anything to get our attention and communicate with us. How many of you know the story of Balaam and his donkey? It's one of those less quoted, kind of odd, surprisingly also kind of hilarious stories that's just tucked away into the Old Testament. I know reading the Old Testament can feel daunting sometimes, and there's long lists that feel like an architect's shopping list or a historian's database, and it can be a little hard to slog through those sometimes. Still very good things to read, but there's also a bunch of stories just tucked away in there that are sometimes, frankly, shocking, and sometimes very exciting, and sometimes unexpectedly hilarious. And I think this is one of those stories. Don't have time to get too deeply into it, but Balaam was a prophet who seemed determined to do the opposite of what God wanted him to do. He was riding away on his donkey, and God kept trying to get his attention, and Balaam kept missing it. And finally, Scripture says, I think it's Numbers 22, it says, "The Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and the donkey verbally communicated with his rider to get God's point across." And finally, Balaam got the picture. I feel like I could make jokes here about like donkeys and stubbornness and who God uses to speak, but I'm not going to make them. The point is, God's not limited in how he wants to speak to us. And if he really wants to, he could open the mouth of a donkey or an animal to get our attention. He usually doesn't, but God can speak through all things. Again, I specifically get to talk today about how God speaks through his creation and through the arts. These are two of my favorite topics, and actually, I think of them as being very similar, very related. The reason we as humans create art is because we are created in the image of the Creator God. He is the most creative being. He is the essence of creativity. He is the ultimate artist. He made us. He made all things. And being in nature, what we call creation, we can see his artwork on full display. And no human artwork can compare to what God has made. How many of you have gone for a hike and reached the summit and just seen this vast expanse of glory just stretching out before you? I don't hike, but I know a lot of you probably do. I really like to walk in the forest where it's usually a lot flatter. Mundy Park is nearby here. I love that forest. It's beautiful. I got to go for a walk there with Sandra Hustler recently, and it was a not rainy day, which was amazing in and of itself. And in the trees, it's quiet, and the sun was coming through in beams through the branches. There was mist rising from the wet forest floor, and it was catching the sunbeams. As we came to the edge of the park, we saw this tree that was covered in yellow leaves. It was a tall tree, just full of bright yellow leaves, and the sun was catching it directly, and it looked just like a torch of glory, like a presence of the sun on the earth. It was beautiful. God is an amazing artist. Or how many of you have done what the psalm talks about and gone out away from the city lights and looked up at the stars and seen the ways that the skies proclaim the glory of God? Again, God is an amazing artist, and he wants to speak through what he's made. If you know the saying, finish it for me, a picture is worth? Exactly, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And in nature, God's creation, we see thousands upon thousands of pictures. It seems like God really likes an object lesson and a visual. Reading through the Gospels, which are Jesus' biographies in the Bible, we often see Jesus using visuals and object lessons from nature. In Luke 12, Jesus is speaking to a crowd, and he says, "Consider how the wildflowers grow." Some translations specifically say, "Consider the lilies. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith?" I'm guessing the lilies or wildflowers were visible from where Jesus was talking. He was pointing them out and using them to remind his listeners that God is a provider, he loves them, he's taking care of them, which is a good word for a lot of us today too. And I bet that image stuck in the mind of his listeners, and every time they walked past these lilies or wildflowers, they remembered this truth that Jesus was saying. Now, we don't have Jesus in person anymore, walking with us and pointing out scenes in nature to communicate God's truth. And what we have is, according to Jesus, better. We just talked about this, I think it was last week, that we have the Holy Spirit, which Jesus says is better for us to have. And when we put our faith in Christ, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit continues to do what Jesus did, highlight images in nature and use them to teach us about who God is, how he loves us, and who we are in him. George Washington Carver was a scientist in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and he's quoted as saying, "I love to think of nature as unlimited broadcasting stations through which God speaks to us every day, every hour, and every moment of our lives, if we will only tune in." So let's try tuning in today. There's a practice I'd love for us to try together. Last month, we learned about Lectio Divina, which is divine reading. It's a way of meditating on scripture. Today, I'd like us to try Visio Divina, which is divine seeing. It's a very similar practice, but instead of specifically meditating on a verse, we'll be looking at an image of nature today. It's any kind of image you can use for this practice, but today we'll be looking at an image of nature and listening for a way that God wants to speak through it. We'll have this image on the screen. It was taken by Jordy Isaac, who a lot of us know and love here at Hillside. So let's start by just taking a moment of quiet and settling our hearts. Try not to fall asleep. Then we're going to quietly take some deep breaths, and in the quiet of your own heart, ask God to speak to you. Then when you're ready, let's look at this picture of God's creation. What do you notice about the colors, the shapes, the different parts of nature that you see? What do they remind you of? Is there any part of the image that's standing out to you? Take a moment to specifically study that part. What's resonating with you? What does it represent to you? In your heart, ask God about it. Talk to him about what you're noticing. Ask him what he might want to say. If there's a specific truth or word that's coming to mind, sort of floating to the surface of your thoughts, just notice it and stay with it. Don't need to force it, just if something's coming, just pay attention to it. I do recommend maybe writing it down, finding a way to remember it. I'd also encourage you to come back to it at a later time, maybe make sure it lines up with scripture, maybe check it with community and life group. Definitely pray about it. And it's also worth asking whether there's a specific action Jesus is inviting you to take as you pray into it. So again, Visio Divina is quieting our hearts, studying the whole image, studying a specific part, reflecting on it, and then asking God if there's an action step he wants us to take with it. Let me pray again now. Lord, continue to speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to reveal your truth to us through the pictures in nature, the metaphors they represent, the science that they teach us about. I thank you, Lord, that you have made good art. I thank you that you desire to speak to us through it and about it. And as we go forward in nature, Lord, I pray that you would be pointing out your artwork and speaking to our hearts through it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, we've been talking and praying about the ways God speaks to us through the artwork of his creation. Now let's spend some time focusing on the art that we as humans make, created in the image of the creative God, and how God wants to speak to us through that. If you know me, you likely know that I am very passionate about this topic. I really love the arts. I've always been drawn to creativity, but I especially grew an appreciation for it when I went to an integrated arts middle school and high school, grades 7 through 12. I learned to think of the arts as a broad umbrella of creativity. We learned about dance, photography, drama, visual arts, music, which obviously is one of my favorites, digital arts, much more. So know that when I'm talking about the arts, I mean a broad umbrella. I mean any kind of inspired creative expression. Cooking and baking can be art forms too, and I know there's some inspired cooks and bakers in our midst, and I will not point them out because I think they would hate it, but know that I appreciate your work. So art can be tasted, art can be felt, art can be heard, and art can be seen. God can speak through all of it. Today I'll be narrowing in a bit more on art that can be seen. Again, a picture is worth a thousand words. A lot of what I want to say about hearing God through the arts is quite similar to what I was saying about hearing God through nature, through God's creation. God, through the Holy Spirit, can highlight an aspect of an art piece to communicate to our hearts. I do feel that a poignantly, a profoundly created art piece can sometimes bypass our skeptical minds and speak straight to our hearts. Have any of you experienced that? I know I definitely have. There's an additional component, too, when compared to nature. It relates to Derwin's sermon a couple weeks ago. The Lord loves to speak his truth through artists in a way that can be called prophetic. There's a bit of mystery around the concept of inspiration, But I do believe God inspires artists to communicate truths from God in all kinds of ways. Now, some of you are probably thinking that can't be true. There's a lot of art out there that does not seem to have anything to do with God, and there's no way God was involved in the process. And I will get to that. But first, let's talk about the art that it's easy to see God in. By artists who are usually very aware that they're creating in partnership with God, or at least in line with scriptures. I like to call this devotional art. I'm talking about art that has obvious themes about God and about scripture. How many of you have traveled in Europe? I know some of you are from Europe. I love Europe. I've had several opportunities to travel there, lived there for a little bit, and traveling there is amazing for a lot of reasons, one of them being the bread, but another one being the cathedrals. You'll often travel and stumble across cathedrals, some of them small, some of them gigantic, often just filled with intricate artwork that tells stories of faith, stories about scripture. I think this one might have been in Lithuania, and I also have visited cathedrals in Austria as well, and many other countries, just beautiful works of art in cathedrals. I have a favorite piece of what I call devotional art, and I saw it in a cathedral in Vilnius, Lithuania. I went there on a missions trip in 2019. I had never really heard about Lithuania before I went there, but it is a beautiful country. Our host was showing us around the city in Vilnius, and as we walked through a cathedral, this piece caught my eye. There was no name by it. I haven't found any information about it online, and I have looked. But it stood out to me. I snapped this picture of it. And I've looked back at the picture many times over the years. What I love about it is, especially in that season of my life, and sometimes still to this day, I would often find myself in this exact posture during prayer and worship. Hand over my heart, hand out. And I didn't know exactly why, it just, my spirit was drawn to it. And God used this piece of art to speak to me about why my spirit was drawn to that posture. I was coming to him with a heart that was aware of my need for him. A cool thing to look at in art, especially devotional art, is the symbolism. So you can see here, hopefully you can see it clearly, that the smaller figure here is wearing a blindfold. And if you can see, his clothing is ripped and ragged at the bottom. So it symbolizes that he's coming as a blind beggar, desperately aware of his need for God. And that was my posture of my heart toward God at the time, even though I wasn't necessarily aware of it, just coming so aware of my need for God. And the second thing he showed me is where he is and was when I'm in that posture. The larger figure seems to represent God. And he showed me that he's with me, surrounding me, with his hand on me, and he's providing for me. As my hand is out, he's giving me my daily bread. You can see there's a loaf of bread being put into the smaller figure's hand. He's giving my daily bread physically, spiritually, and emotionally. He's nourishing me. He's showing me that he's kind, he's present, he's mighty, and he's my provider. Amen. Amen. And the same is true for you today. So that's an example of how God speaks through what I call devotional art. Through visuals and symbolism, God can communicate many things in one image and speak directly to our hearts and spirits. The artist who sculpted this had no idea that I'd be coming, having been in the same posture. I'm pretty sure it was sculpted, if not decades, centuries ago. He didn't know I'd be seeing it. But God knew, and he used this artist's faithful work to speak directly to my heart. And it is clear that the sculptor was intentionally creating about life with God, especially since the artwork is in a cathedral. But what about artists who don't know that they're creating artwork that God wants to speak through? I want to circle back to my earlier point and this quote from Pete Gregg. There is no aspect of God's creation through which he cannot and does not speak. Might not be the most generous comparison, but if God can speak through a donkey, and if the skies proclaim the work of his hands without speech, then God can speak through an artist who doesn't know he's communicating through them. And when we use discernment, when we think clearly and carefully with the Holy Spirit, we can learn to hear God's voice in all things. I was trying to think through times I've heard God speak through art that's not intentionally devotional. And one example kept coming to mind, but it doesn't quite seem like highbrow art, which is okay. We need to know that art doesn't always have to be posh or seem super elitist. God can speak through everything. And I know Derwin thinks there's only one movie that's worth quoting on Sundays. A lot of us know. If you don't know, Derwin loves Lord of the Rings. But I personally, I really love animated movies. I really love movies that can be considered family-friendly, maybe even called a kids' movie. And I really love musicals. And I know I'm not alone in that. The high school girls, at least, also love a musical. So a movie that I really like and have often rewatched is Frozen 2. Anybody else? I love that movie. If you've seen the movie, I think it's quite powerful. Which is very possible in art made with a younger audience in mind. There's an aspect, if you haven't seen it, this might be a spoiler, so cover your ears if you want to, but there's an aspect of resurrection, which is always a sign of how our souls long for Christ and the life that he brings. And there's a few scenes that make me tear up, but one of them is the song, Show Yourself. Yeah, that's the one. If you've seen the movie, it's the one with the ice cave and the pictures and all the colorful ice crystals. You know it if you've seen it. So in this scene, the young queen is searching for the answers to the main conflict of the movie. She's walking through this ice cave and calling, singing, but I'm not going to sing it. But she's crying out, show yourself, wanting the answer to be revealed. And through the process, she realizes she's the one who's supposed to bridge the divide and provide the solution to the problem. So she ends up singing, show yourself to herself. So the way that the Lord uses this to speak to me is he's always sort of nudging me out of my comfort zone. I think I hide it fairly decently, especially in public, but there are aspects of my life that I'm quite shy about. And inconveniently, those are the exact same areas that God is consistently asking me to step out in faith with and to share his truth and the words he's spoken to me. And to do so is quite exposing, I feel. I often resist it. But when I watch this scene from Frozen 2, the song Show Yourself feels like a nudge in my spirit and a reminder from God to be who he's called me to be, to step into what he's called me to do and not to hide. Now, when you're interacting with art that isn't necessarily made with God in mind, he can and does speak through it. We shouldn't be afraid of it. If I had more time, I'd talk a lot more about this topic. But many of you have already had my next point in your mind this whole time. We need to use discernment. We need to think through it carefully. It's wise to come to it with openness to what God might want to say, knowing it can be valuable, and also knowing not everything will be healthy or sit well with our spirits. Probably less so in a movie geared towards kids, that there's questionable parts, but there are parts that aren't necessarily in line with the Lord. So in the scene that I was talking about, Show Yourself, I do think it's a beautiful piece of animation and of music, and there's aspects of it that really resonate with me. And like I said, God's used it to nudge me in the direction he's calling me to go. At the same time, the Frozen series, as with a lot of movies these days, are built around the common cultural worldview that people call expressive individualism, which claims that as long as I, the individual, have found my own path and I'm doing what seems right and true to me, everything will be okay. We can't get into that topic too deeply, but actually, that is not the same thing as the gospel. God does love us and has made us on purpose, and he has work for us to do, but we aren't able to do everything and be everything he made us to be on our own, because we believe that when sin entered the world, our peace with God is broken, and we're not able to live into the fullness of who he made us to be. Jesus is the only one who can save us from that sin, which means we're not the main character of our own stories. And that's a good thing. Our lives work best with Jesus at the center because he's the one who brings us life, and he's the only one who can heal us of our messes and make us new in him. In this song, Show Yourself, one of the main lines essentially says, I am the one I've been waiting for all my life. We can watch that scene and see the good of how beautiful it is and how parts of it can be used by God to speak, and also recognize that, nope, I am not the one I've been waiting for. Jesus is the hero of our story, so we don't need to be. His power is much greater. Not everything about that scene or that movie is in line with Christ, and still, he uses parts of it to speak to me. I would love to say so much more about the topic, but again, we've been going through Hearing God by Pete Gregg, and I really encourage you to read chapter 7, because there's a lot more great points on the topic that I don't have time to make today. But for now, let's talk about how to go forward with these truths. Again, as I've been saying repeatedly, God wants to speak to us through everything. He loves a visual, and he loves to use creation and the arts to communicate with us. So this week, I encourage you to look at good art, both that humans made and that God has made. I know it's a beautiful day today. It has been quite dark and rainy lately, but maybe there'll be a window for a hike or a nature walk before 3 p.m. when the sun sets. But go and look at and listen to art that is beautiful and proclaims the glory of God like the skies do. Look at the autumn leaves. Just yesterday, went for a walk and saw trees, but the leaves are like a gradient of color. It's glorious. God's a great artist. So go and look at that and watch movies and read books, discerningly listen to music, and ask God, like we did through Visio Divina, is there a part of this that you want to highlight to me? What might you be trying to say? And pay attention to what stirs your heart and ask God about it. Have a conversation with him because he wants to talk to you. He loves to speak to you because he loves you. Maybe someone here today just needs to hear that word. The Lord loves you and wants to communicate with you so much that he's willing to use anything and everything to do so. He has life for you. One more thing on the topic of devotional art and a way to go forward with this truth. Coquitlam Alliance Church has recently restarted this initiative called Creatives Collective, which is a community of people who love God and love the arts and creativity all through the Lower Mainland, and I've been blessed to be part of it. If you're interested, talk to me. I'd love to help you get involved as well. But this evening, they're having a showcase of the kind of art I call devotional art. It's part of a worship and prayer time, and it's at Coquitlam Alliance Church, which is quite close to here, and it's a great opportunity to come engage with art and listen to what God might be wanting to say. So I will be there, and it'd be great to see you guys there if you wanted to come too. I think it starts at 7. An art form that is so important to the life of the church is music and singing. And we always respond through song, and we're going to do that again today. And maybe God has something he wants to say to you specifically through these songs. I'm going to invite the music team to come up. And if you're able, why don't you all stand? Our prayer team will be available at the front, as always, as we sing. And you can come forward with requests, and maybe you want to come forward just to respond and listen for what God might want to say. If you're longing for a word from God, you can come forward and our prayer team would love to listen with you. Let me pray, and then we're going to respond through prayer and song. Lord, as we've been saying all through this service, Lord, you are good and your love endures forever. You are mighty. You are kind, and you're drawing us into yourself. You have life for us. Lord, if there are any of us here today who haven't experienced your life to the fullest, I pray that you would speak a word that would resonate with their hearts and open their eyes, Lord, to who you are, as the amazing artist that you are, the good creator, the good father that you are, the way that you guide us and direct us into your life and life in you. It's not always easy, but it's good. Lord, we praise you, and I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would lift our hearts to worship you through song. Yeah, walk with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.